I am on the road to perdition because I'm wearing sunglasses. Help me. Somebody help me. I wear nice shirts. I wear a jacket. Next thing you know, I'm going to be getting a haircut. And then the next thing you know, I will be in the gutter. I will have fallen. God will have taken me down because of my self-love. Oh, my friends, if you knew how many times I looked in the mirror to make sure my hair looks decent. And then imagine the haircut on top of this. Can you imagine what would happen if I polished my shoes? My gosh, it's the road to perdition. It leads to eventual destruction. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. None of what I said is true. Taking care of yourself and loving yourself does not lead to destruction unless you are completely oblivious, as was King Nebuchadnezzar, to the sovereignty of God. How strange that Christianity is completely oblivious to the sovereignty of God. And yet this is the entity that dresses itself up on the outside. And the women are oh so humble. The buns on their head look like something you would get from Cinnabon, that company at the airports. You know, and again, they wear dresses that look like burlap bags. And this is supposed to be humility. And yet on the inside, again, I compared it yesterday to a whitewashed wall. You can be all humble on the outside, but what good is it if inside, where God looks at the heart, you are full of pride and you do not recognize the sovereignty of God in your life, that your every move is ordered by him. Nebuchadnezzar did not realize this. And we're going to see the vision fulfilled in verse 28 of Daniel chapter 4. And let this be a lesson to all of us. I didn't get to finish what I wanted to say yesterday concerning my really being stunned at the fact that religious orders and sects, and that's S-E-C-T-S, thank you very much. People like the Amish and the Mennonites, who are so careful, and the Baptists, who don't play cards, don't dance, don't drink alcohol, don't have any fun at all. And at the same time, they have no revelation at all. I do not find this to be a coincidence, and I may be the first to point this out, but I see a correlation between religiosity, between a false humility on the outside, and this religious spirit on the inside. It's like there's something very rotten inside. Jesus said it perfectly. Who am I to improve upon these words? They whitewash the tombs. Outside, clean, neat, well-ordered to a human view, and that inside, the bones of the dead. A tomb is a perfect example. It looks great. It's ornate. Wow, this is a nice building. What is it? A grave. Inside, it's distended with envy and pride. Again, there are people like you and me. We've already come to the cross. And I see an analogy, too, between Nebuchadnezzar and the cross. I'm excited to tell you this. It's coming. We've come to the cross, and we've given up on ourselves. We're no longer concerned how people see us on the outside. We're concerned with pleasing God. And this also works too, that the more you're interested in pleasing God, the more you walk with him in the spirit, the more you learn about him, the more joyful you become. Doctrines like the salvation of all and understanding that God is the sovereign in the universe and the pressure is not on you anymore. This makes you happy. And when you're happy, you want to do things like dance. And you want to make merry. And No, I didn't say do merry. I said make merry. That's not even funny. I would be quiet. I'm trying to do a show. You want to make merry. And this is the result of the Spirit of God in you bubbling over with happiness. Perfect example, King David. This guy was like a wild card. You remember when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines into Jerusalem and David is dancing wildly and he's wearing a linen ephod, which was like, I don't know, a loincloth of some kind. And his wife, Michael, is that her name? Mike? Yeah. Was it Michelle? No, it was Michael. I don't know. She is telling him, would you calm down? You're making a fool of yourself. And David said, I don't care. This is a happy day. He's dancing around and exposing himself. She accused him of that. Why? Because he was exposing himself. He was not careful about his outward appearance. And so this man could be seen to have been arrogant. and the blustery. And yet he was a true man of God, a man after God's own heart. That's God's testimony concerning David. So there's a person who's humble on the outside, but prideful on the inside. And there's a person who's humble on the inside, such as yours truly. I am extremely humble on the inside. And I know many of you are too, because I know where everything I have comes from. And I'll say this over and over again. I know I just said it yesterday. I'm saying it again. In me dwells no good thing. I've come through Romans 3. Hello. It's elementary knowledge. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking after God. They have all gone out of the way. Talking about this, coming up on this on my newsletter, ZWTF. If you don't get that, sign up on my homepage, martinzender.com. Go there, scroll down on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see a place to fill in your name. Do it. We're not going to bug you. We're just going to send you great stuff, like this newsletter on the book of Romans, where we come to the end of ourselves because of the cross. That's a blessed thing, because now there's no longer concern that it's you against Jesus, that it's your pride against the humble Christ. Now, the Spirit of God makes his home in you, and you're one. You died with Christ. Paul says, I live. Yes, that's true. But I also died. I died with Christ. So I'm still living, but the life I live, I now live in Christ Jesus. So he's no longer seeing himself in accord with the old humanity anymore. That's why when he uses the pronoun, I, he can use it in a new way. The old man and the new man are still using the pronoun I, but they mean completely different things by it. The old man is still thinking that he can save himself, that he can please God. And the old man can say I that way. The new man has considered that to be done. It's death. All my efforts have been rubbish, like Paul says in Philippians. Everything that I deem to be profitable to me, I now deem to be a forfeit. My genealogy, my priesthood, the wonders of my work as a Pharisee, it's all dung. But he still uses the pronoun I. Ah, yes, but it's a new I. Now, and then God shows people like me these amazing revelations. People like me and Dan Sheridan. Let's not get started on Dan Sheridan. He's the opposite of an Amish guy. If you spend any time with Sheridan, he's anti-Amish. He doesn't do anything like the Amish. He's like King David, blustery on the outside, but humble as can be, knows that he has a God, recognizes completely the sovereignty of God. These are the people God loves. You know who God, relatively speaking, hates? You know who he hates nowadays? He hates fakery. He hates religious pretension, which inside takes pride in the flesh. He tries to dress it up. How dare you try to dress that up in righteous garb? Like the high priest. Beautiful example of Pharisees. Beautiful example. All flowery, wearing robes, wanting to be seen in the front of the buildings. All humbled, bowed. They pray in public. What good does it do them? Nothing. They kill the Messiah. No truth inside. The Amish would do the same thing today. Now, we're supposed to be talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Here we go. It was prophesied concerning Nebuchadnezzar that he would fall. Pride does come before a fall. Amy was right yesterday. But again, Nebuchadnezzar, we're in the pre... It can still happen to... It can still happen today. Yes, Amy, I admit that. It can still happen today. But it happens more to people like... who's that guy from Louisiana? Jim Baker. That's the guy from Louisiana. Baker's from North Carolina. Jimmy Swaggart. Because these are the exact kind of guys I'm talking about. They get up there on the pulpit and they're all, I'm Jimmy Swaggart and I love God. I'm Jim Baker and I love God, whatever. You guys believe in free will, you believe in eternal torment, so inside you think you chose Christ, so these people are more apt to fall. You see, it's the inner pride that sets you up for a fall, and we should make that distinction. Pride comes before a fall, but it's true pride, not the so-called outward pride, not me wearing sunglasses and a jacket. That's not pride. That's a circus act, okay? I'm a showman. I like show business. It's in my blood, right? One of my uncles ran away to join the circus at age 14. I told you this before. He married the sheep-haired woman from the sideshow. Many of you have never heard this. Hollywood playwright. I got circus in my blood. It's what's inside that counts. So here's Nebuchadnezzar, though. He's walking around the parapets of his kingdom, on the wall, on the parapet. Now, if you have a parapet, you're already on the cusp of disaster. Just the fact that you have a parapet, you must be very careful. If I come to your home and you have a parapet, I might have to warn you about the pride that befell Nebuchadnezzar. And the king is saying this, verse 30 of Daniel 4, "Is not this Babylon great that I have built to be the house of the kingdom within the might of my safeguarding walls for the esteem of..." Oh, I'm not going to get to that part yet. Listen to that. But this first part's okay. I'm going to give him a pass on this. On this. This is what I'm going to give Nebuchadnezzar a pass on. "Is this not Babylon the great that I have built?" I got no problem with that. Did you build a house? Some of you are handy people. Maybe you built a cabinet, okay? "This is the cabinet which I have built." Some Christians can't say that because it's so proud. You see, "I didn't build this." Sounds like Obama. "I didn't build this. God built it." Really? I didn't see God here with a hammer, nails, hinges. I saw you doing this. You built it. No, it's God. No, you built it. There's nothing wrong with the eye as long as you see it on the good side of Calvary, on the new creation side, not the old creation side. Nothing wrong with this. Here's the problem with Nebuchadnezzar. "For the esteem of my honor." For the esteem of my honor. He didn't do it for God or in the name of God. He didn't do it because God is operating in him. Philippians 2, 12, 13. To will and to work for the sake of his delight. He didn't do it for that reason. He did it for himself. So it began with himself, but it wasn't offered to God. Last week I talked about that open hand that you're not going to find today in government, that you're not going to find today in power, that you're not going to find with Nebuchadnezzar, that willingness to realize that nothing you have is yours. Everything is on loan from God. Everything is a gift. You hold on to it loosely. So that's the difference. Yes, I built this kingdom. That's right. Yes, this is my website, martinzender.com. Is that your website? Yes, my website. It's not God's website. God doesn't have a website. This is my website. Where did it come from? Oh, God gave me everything I have. He gave me the ability to make a website, to make a show, to write a book. It's all of God. That's the difference. "For the esteem of my honor," verse 31, "and while the matter is still in the mouth of the king, a voice falls from the heavens. To you, they are saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom passes away from you. From mortals are they shoving you, and with the animals of the field is your abode. Herbage will they feed to you as oxen. Thus seven seasons shall pass on over you, till you shall know that the Supreme," capital S, "is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and to whom he is willing, he is giving it." Wow. Those two verses are impregnated with knowledge and wisdom, and we are going to deliver that knowledge and wisdom to you tomorrow.